talk to me a little bit about how you developed your production technology.
Well, the production technology began, you know, with some very humble beginnings back about 4.5 years ago. And it was really my relationship with a small liberal arts college located in Minneapolis, Minnesota, called Augsburg College. And it was the curiosity of a student that led us to try something that had never been really tried before. And we came up with a new catalytic method that we call the MacGyan process for making biodiesel fuel. And initially, it was just a 10-week research project and the curiosity of a student that really brought me and my team to kind of look at this, seriously. And we very quickly made a breakthrough. And that literally happened almost overnight. And then from that point, we really had to assemble a very concentrated research team to look at this seriously. And it took thousands of experiments to understand the chemistry. And then we developed it into a pilot scale system that we're still running to this day. And then we finally were able to, raise the capital to be able to start a demonstration commercial facility that has the capacity of about 3 million gallons a year on an annual basis. So it's been a very quick development cycle, but we really were using things that we had been familiar with for decades because of my research in chromatography, and these materials were originally used for high performance liquid chromatography, and so there was already literally hundreds of years of PhD research behind the synthesis of the materials, the understanding of the chemistry, and the fundamental knowledge base was just vast. So we were able to very quickly catapult this into a commercial technology.
So, Clayton, when you first started looking at it, were you testing soybean oil, or were you automatically looking at it as this is going to be a breakthrough technology for biodiesel in the sense that we're going to be able to use simultaneously use in the sense of, multi-feedstocks? You know, that's been a big challenge in the industry is feedstock costs.
Sure.
So when you got a hold of this technology, like you said, four and a half years ago, did you realize this is going to be a breakthrough multi-feedstock technology?
No, not at first. I mean, we first started where the rest of the industry was, which was with soybean oil. So our very first tests were just simply taking food-grade Crisco vegetable oil and running it through the process and making biodiesel fuel. So we optimized the process and developed it and started to understand the chemistry just where everybody else did. But what we very quickly began to realize is that the chemistry was quite a bit different, and we were able to handle unrefined oils that had much higher levels of free fatty acid that really allowed it to be multi-feedstock. And at this point, we've really gone after just about everything we can in terms of looking at different potential feedstocks, and we haven't found one that we can't convert into fuel.
Wow. So you literally took, like you're saying, you did thousands of tests and took hundreds of years of science and brought it to biodiesel. In your knowledge, has anybody else coupled this technology in the way you've done it for biodiesel?
No, we think it's unique. We think it's never been, these different technologies have never been brought together in this kind of a process, and it has resulted in a number of patents that we filed, and we just got word that we will be receiving our first issued patent within literally the next week. And so that really validates the supposition that it is a unique technology.
So why do you think, you know, from your personal experience, Clayton, why do you think the industry was so resistant or has been so resistant for so long to see the need of, one, a multi-feedstock production technology, and two, why they've been so resistant to something so unique as your technology?
Well, I think there's some, it's whenever there's something new, there's some, resistance to change. And so what the biodiesel industry was really predicated on was the use of soybean oil and food grade oils like canola and soybean. And so that was the initial starting point. But, we realize now that it's not going to be possible to continue down that path simply because of the cost of these input raw materials has gotten to the point where it's no longer economically viable to continue to use them. So in order for the industry to survive, it's had to adapt and use different inputs. And so just simply from an economic standpoint. And that's what our technology really answers in, completely is a technology that is multi-feedstock capable, produces fuel in seconds, doesn't use harsh chemicals, doesn't use any water in the process, and just has tremendous operational advantages over the traditional technology.
And Clayton, what's your production cost? You talk about, excuse me, production costs and biodiesel not being able to compete without current subsidies and incentives. I'm assuming your technology is gonna has a major impact breakthrough, quite frankly, on your production costs.
Well, it does, and it's pretty well established that the number one cost in biodiesel production has been the input oil. You can. There have been papers published by the USDA that have established that upwards of 80 to 90% of the cost of traditional biodiesel technology is in the input soybean oil. So, obviously, using less expensive inputs on the lipid side is the key to producing fuel more economically, and that's what we can do.
Right. Now, you mentioned that it uses your technology uses catalysts, and since this issue is, and this is where I don't have the expertise in biodiesel, is when you start talking about catalysts in your production, tell me a little more about how that works, because that's unusual in your technology, correct?
Well, yeah, it is. The traditional catalyst that's used is sodium hydroxide or potassium hydroxide. It's a strong base. And that creates a homogeneous catalyst when it's dissolved into the alcohol in the form of like a sodium methoxide at that point. So that's the traditional catalyst. And it's at the end of the process, it is neutralized by a strong acid such as hydrochloric acid or sulfuric acid, and the resulting chemistry there produces salt, and then that salt has to be removed from the biodiesel in order to meet the ASTM specs. And so that's our technology doesn't use a homogeneous catalyst, it uses a heterogeneous catalyst, which means that it's not dissolved into those liquids, not in a single phase. Ours is a solid metal oxide, highly porous material that is spherical and was originally designed for high performance liquid chromatography. And it's has very high mechanical, chemical, and thermal stability. And so we simply put that catalyst in a stainless steel reactor housing, put filters on each side of it to keep the catalyst contained into that reactor, and we pass the reactants through it. So the alcohol and the oil are passed through it using high pressure pumping systems. And the two reactants are only in contact with that catalyst for a matter of seconds. And in that, and then on the other side of the catalyst, you get 98% to 99% conversion in a single pass to biodiesel fuel. It then goes through a secondary polishing step to meet all the ASTM specifications. So it's a continuous process versus having a batch process where you're constantly adding new catalyst to each batch of material.
Okay.
And it just isn't subject to, the chemistry is radically different so that it isn't subject to having some water content in your alcohol or having free fatty acid content, which will produce soap byproducts in the traditional chemistry.